This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. The Red Sox return home to Fenway Park tomorrow night to begin this season's second half after the All-Star break. As we know, Fenway Park has been a fixture in Boston for more than 100 years as it's the country's oldest ballpark. Baseball fans from around the country and around the world flock to see Fenway. We found Mick Seckler from Kansas there just yesterday.
Whenever we said, what are we going to do in Boston, the first thing that was on our list was to make sure we go to Fenway. So, I mean, that was what we identified Boston with.
Fenway's connection to baseball fans, its quirky architecture, and its importance in Boston are all subjects of a new book, Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. It's written by Pulitzer Prize-winning architectural writer Paul Goldberger, who joined us to discuss what Fenway means and what it says about this city.
Fenway is an extraordinary, magical place. I really felt it more powerfully than ever 2 years ago when I was still deep in research on this book. And I brought along a friend who is a diehard Yankees fan who, as a matter of principle, had never gone to Fenway Park. And I said, well, you'll get a special exemption this time in the name of research. And she came along and she totally fell in love with it. And she said, I've just never been in a place that felt so good. And I think people in Boston understand that and realize it and thankfully appreciate it.
Let me ask you to take a more clinical approach here, if I might. As an architectural critic, what's your take on Fenway simply as a structure?
Well, it's a wonderful kind of slightly disheveled mix of different things. You know, it's not an incredibly elegant, perfectly wrought object. It's, in fact, something that got cobbled together over many years, many generations. But in fact, that's part of the magic of it. It has a wonderful combination of funkiness and grandeur to it. It's kind of too big to be small and too small to be really, really big. There's this kind of Goldilocks in-between quality that I think adds to the magic of Fenway.
Paul, do you think that Fenway Park's personality reflects the personality of Boston and Bostonians, or vice versa?
I think it works both ways, actually. You know, I think that Fenway's personality has, in fact, in part shaped Boston, but Boston shapes it. It makes me think of that great Winston Churchill line, you know, first we shape our buildings and then our buildings shape us. And that's really true of Fenway, I think. Boston is a city that's always gone its own way, and Fenway is all about that. It's all about a certain determination to do it your way and never mind certain standard things. I could never imagine baseball in Boston being played in some huge, standardized, big, round, concrete donut.
In the book, you call Fenway Park a true urban ballpark. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is it really feels embedded in the city. You walk to it from a lot of Boston, or you come by transit. And in fact, from the very day of its creation, it was created by the Taylor family, which owned the team at that point, to promote the Back Bay area, the Fenway, where they had major real estate holdings, actually. That's why it was named Fenway Park and not Taylor Park. And so it was always kind of deeply embedded in the city. The way in which Jersey Street is, you know, is closed and becomes a kind of part extension of the ballpark is, I think, a really wonderful thing before each game.
Has Fenway Park influenced the way owners approach other ballparks? Have other owners tried to emulate Fenway?
When big, standardized football-baseball combination stadiums were the rule, they thought that Fenway was exactly the wrong model. And then the great change came in 1992 with the opening of Camden Yards in Baltimore. I think there have been a great number of recent ballparks that are kind of deliberately a little bit eccentric, asymmetrical, a little bit idiosyncratic, and very woven into the urban fabric. But of course, Fenway is the real thing as opposed to trying to do it after the fact. Even so, we're lucky because I think it's the best model we could ask for.
In the pantheon of great ballparks around the country, including Camden Yards and Fenway Park, where do you think Fenway sits?
Well, I think Fenway, along with Wrigley, the two great survivors of the golden age of ballparks from the early 20th century, they're really in a class by themselves. They transcend everything else. It's a truly, truly special place, and one of the great decisions made in the modern history of Boston was the decision by the current ownership to keep Fenway, reinvest in it, and gradually and carefully, delicately bring it up to date rather than replace it.
We opened talking about the fans and Fenway, so let me close by asking about the fans. Today, Fenway Park is venerated as something of a national landmark by baseball
right.
fans. Does it deserve that adulation?
I think Fenway absolutely deserves that adulation. As a public space that has enormous emotional content for not only people in Boston, but for people who love baseball anywhere and everywhere, I think it's the second Boston Common, you could say. It's the sort of the second great public space of the city of Boston. And historically, to me, you know, there's just nothing better.
Paul Goldberger, author of Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. Continued good luck with the book, and thanks a lot for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Thank you, Bob. This has been fun.